So, hello, welcome back to the Metafictional Podcast, presented by Strange and Unusual Productions. I am C. Magaña.
This is C. Paris.
And as you know, if you've been keeping up with the show, and if you haven't, the quick rundown is Paris found a way to travel between dimensions.
I found a thing that allows us to travel between dimensions.
Well, yeah, but we've gone over that. So it lets us go to every possible version of the universe. What's his face always said, this is, you know, this is the universe. I forget the there's a philosopher. This is the best of all worlds because it's the one that exists. We experience this universe. Therefore, it is the best of all worlds. Some philosopher. Turns out he was full of shit.
Just full of it.
He was completely wrong. There is a near impossible amount of other universes that are inhabited by life just like us or very similar. And one of
Futurama was also wrong.
What?
Futurama was also wrong.
Yeah, they were off by a few.
Yeah.
But there are many other universes that have life, that has society, civilization, dessert.
And alternate versions of movies.
Yes, which is really what we found more interesting. Because we did find some stuff. We found like that weird knights and fairy tale universe.
Yeah.
The drinks are okay, but we had nothing to communicate with them about. I would be like, hey, did you guys ever watch Firefly? And they'd be like, oh, the Fireflies at night are beautiful. I'm like, no. The TV
oddly,
show.
Bigger problem on the spacefaring.
Oh, universe. Yeah. When that weird, like, super technologically advanced spacefarer thing. Yeah. They didn't have Star Trek.
Which is so weird.
They had holodecks. What the fuck did they call them?
Like, something real, like, snotty and prissy, like, interactive fictional
experience drone room or something. I don't know.
It was a holodeck.
It was a fucking holodeck, but they didn't want to call it that. And we told them, like, we bring the media with us, like, to show somebody. Because, you know, you're on a spaceship. What is the first question?
Where's the bathroom?
No. But you have a spacesuit.
Ew.
Did you not? You had a spacesuit.
I didn't go in. Did you go in your spacesuit?
It was a spacesuit. Yes, of course I did.
Ew.
What do you mean, ew?
I mean, ew.
It had there were tubes and things. I think I was supposed to go in that. Anyways, the
you might have left them a present.
That's on them. They should have told me about it. The correct question you ask someone else on a spaceship the first time you meet them. Really? Kirk or Picard, you fucking Philistine.
Oh, you threw me off on a spaceship. That's just how I introduce myself to people. Like, regardless of the presence of spaceships.
Oh. Okay, well, you get to ask again the next time you're on a spaceship.
Okay.
But they had never heard of it because their stupid universe doesn't have Star Trek. So this was our problem. We would go to all these other dimensions, meet all these new people and exciting worlds and go on these adventures. Like Sliders.
Yeah.
But the ending is less dumb. Sorry, O'Connell Brothers. I think you're great and very handsome, but your show ended stupid. But we found something that does make sense with the ability to travel between dimensions given the thing. We go to the other dimensions and find out the what ifs of pop culture and media, just like you've always wanted. So last week we were going over, if you heard it, then this is a little retreading. But Star Wars was originally going to be cast differently. It was going to be Burt Reynolds in the Han Solo role, which, as we discussed, I liked it. I thought it was
I hated it so much. Harrison Ford forever, baby.
No, there's nothing wrong with Harrison Ford. I'm just saying he had Indiana Jones. He was fine. He could have given Burt Reynolds that. I think it would have, and I'd say better movie. It's more entertaining if you like movies. But we already
had. It's more entertaining if you like Burt Reynolds' mustache.
We had that conversation, so we've agreed.
Moving forward.
We've agreed to disagree. Moving forward.
And
we are now.
Wrong. He's so wrong.
Y'all didn't see it. You have no idea, and you never will. Anyways, and Revenge of the Sith was better. The fight scenes were better. But neither here nor there, whichever is correct. Moving on, because this week we are discussing, drumroll please.
Drum, 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 drum.
I was going to add a sound effect, but that works too.
The Matrix. Starring Will Smith.
Man, I hope we have some music to play under that. That felt cool. Anyways, yeah. So because we have dimensional travel, we get to call this universe Prime.
Yes, that's the rules.
So in the Prime universe, the role was eventually won out by Keanu Reeves.
Obviously. I think everyone listening knows that one.
I would hope so. But a little known fact about Universe Prime, they originally approached Will Smith and he turned it down.
To do Wild Wild West, but that's a story for another day.
Not that he was wrong. That's cool too. Admittedly, not as big a cultural impact in changing of cinema and video games. But in this alternate universe we found, Matrix, largely the same movie, some changes, of course, but
obviously
Will Smith took the role and went in a little bit of a different direction. I think
we'll go into it.
We'll get there. So you know the format of the show. We kind of will walk you a little bit through it. We're not a review exactly. We're not just going to tell you what happens. You've seen The Matrix, you know.
No. If you haven't, pause the damn podcast. Go watch The Matrix. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And when you're done, come back and listen to us.
And this will make slightly more sense. Okay. So first up, other casting changes. Will Smith in the role of Neo. More of a jokey kind of, oh my God, I'm on an adventure. A little less.
He's quippy.
He's quippy. There's a lot of little jokes. But he's a serviceable Neo. Weird change was Hugo Weaving and Lawrence Fishburne.
Still in the movie.
They're still in the movie. They're both still in the movie. They just flipped roles.
Yeah. So whatever made Will Smith like as the star apparently also had Hugo Weaving as Morpheus.
Yeah. Very like calm, sage-like. Less like a general, like Lawrence Fishburne's Morpheus is this general who you know is like this badass who's going to get out there and, you know, like when he breaks the chains, is this like power, this like a, I don't know, like a bear totem spirit kind of a powerful man. Hugo Weaving is all this like still and a little bit of the elf dude from Lord of the Rings.
Elrond.
That one. Hubbard. And he is this like still water runs deep kind of a character, very much a sage.
Yeah, very Zen master.
Yeah, like the little mustache thing he did was weird, but I think they were going for that old chop socky master. Yeah,
they were definitely going in that direction.
Yeah. And so it turns out that, what was it? He got hurt during the beginning of the filming?
Yeah, he had an injury to his leg and it turned out to be a polyp or something.
Right. So as a result, he couldn't do any of the early on fight scenes. So like they had this big talk of about like, oh, his character, like Morpheus is going to be a kick-ass character.
He's but trust fight. Us. Because he's always sitting.
Yeah. Like the whole movie is just sitting there. And it's because, well, his leg was messed up. So they just adjusted shooting so that he have one big fight scene, which, I mean, they played the hell out of it. It's just like the Keanu Reeves, the Keo version.
Keo version? That's what we're doing? The other one is the Wii-O, by your logic.
No, Neo. The Matrix. Neo's the main character in The Matrix. Keanu Reeves played him in this universe.
So you said Keo. Ergo, in the Will Smith universe, it would be Wii-O.
If you want.
Moving on.
Big Neo style. Anyways, so the fight scene is this big epic set piece, just like it is on this side, but it makes a little more sense that he...
In their real world.
Yeah, like it's just...
Like real world situations inform the movie. Like, what excuse do we have that Lawrence Fishburne...
Yeah, like he's such a badass. He's just sitting the whole time. His biggest scene is him literally standing up out of a chair and running 3 feet and jumping.
Yeah.
That's like his most badass shot is him like, I'm more powerful than this. And it's like,
okay. Yeah, the Blake polyp does kind of excuse that.
It does make sense. Yeah, like, oh, that's why. Cool.
Now to discuss the inverse, Lawrence Fishburne as Agent Smith...
Yes, because they brought in that power. There's a lot of just him manhandling Will Smith.
Yeah.
There's this like, the little palm to the chest. Like he does a little like hand flick into throat.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh.
That scene's still there. That choreography still exists. But when he does a little hand into the throat, kind of pokes Lawrence Fishburne.
There's an inherent aura of malice that I don't think Hugo Weaving brought into the wall. Like he was more disdain.
Yeah, he was disgusted, like the stink of humans, like that scene.
Yeah.
It was this, he was dealing with a creature he saw as below him.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence Fishburne was almost jealous. Like, it was like, you get all this. It was played differently.
He was very much ex-girlfriend, now that you mention it. Like, that's nothing I would have thought of while watching it. But like, how come you get all this?
Yeah, you power, get this like, this whole world, and I have to like, from his point of view, all of humanity is constantly on vacation, just in this little happy world mm-hmm. that's much simpler, that has a sun, and he has his job, his day-to-day 9-to-5 punch-in-the-clock job is to make sure the people think it's fine.
Oh, more so than that, because 9-to-5 implies that you get off at some point.
That's true, because he's a program. He doesn't have to...
He's constantly running.
There's no vacation time.
No.
Yeah. So it kind of makes sense, but it's that little adjustment, and it's just a different approach. Mm-hmm. Both were good. Like, I was down for both of those, either version of that.
I was really glad to see both. I don't have a strong preference for either because, you know, like, Lawrence Fishburne as Agent Smith was awesome. Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus was fucking awesome.
Very different.
Like, very different.
But both sets work.
Yeah.
Weird surprise, and I know you're going like, well, what Will Smith? Wait. The character of Trinity, mm-hmm. the actress name, Irene. I apologize. Yeah. I don't know how badly I'm saying that, but she was like a Disney Star Channel person or Nickelodeon.
The Mystery Files of Shelby Woo Shelby Woo. Let's get her into the Matrix movie.
Yeah, like we don't know the story of how that happened, but instead of Carrie Ann Moss, they had
we have theories.
I have my theory. I think Hollywood in 1999 was a little uncomfortable with the black dude on a white woman.
Yeah.
I mean, Hitch wasn't going to come out for a few more years at this point. So
no.
We were okay with Will Smith, like with a Latin chick, but Hollywood is not comfortable with him with a white chick.
And I guess maybe to again bolster like the, what was the term you used?
The chop socky feel.
The chop socky feel. They went with an Asian actress.
Because there's a touch more like African-American black culture to it just because Will Smith is there. Mm-hmm. Although people would call bullshit on that because it's Will Smith and he's not a hardcore person or anything. And that whole conversation that I'm not qualified to have.
Neither of us.
Neither. Not at all. But I think because that presence of having a deeply sci-fi, metaphysical, philosophical... tech-based movie made the little adjustments. It was still very electronic dance music and like leather outfits, but less fetish gear, more armor. So there's a different, more militarized version to it. But to go back to what I was saying, the casting of Irene kind of brought a legitimacy to I think because like, well, we have an Asian actress, let's go into the fight scenes.
Yeah.
So they were a little more visceral. There was still a lot of like that Chinese ballet floatingness to it.
Yeah.
But like, okay, the bullet time scene that everyone knows in the Keo version, he gets shot in the legs he falls over, but he does a little like reach back and the camera spins. That was very cool. But the Will Smith version had this, instead of him just kind of like leaning back, he's doing a full like flip. You can kind of see how the wires.
I think that took away from it.
Yeah, it was more like a little closer to something he could realistically do.
Yeah.
But the opposite of that, in Trinity's introduction, the chase scene where she jumps in the air, she floats for a second, does a little crane kick. It was like she got multi-hit. Like she got like a multi-hit combo on that cop.
That's true.
So like it was like they gave her more. And I don't know if Will Smith wasn't as good at the kung fu. Or where that came from, but they gave him a little less to do.
It did give her a chance to be a badass more so than...
Carrie Ann Moss did not get as much fun being... She was like, I'm a badass, trust me.
Yeah.
And then boom, Danzel.
So like in Prime version, Trinity was, I'm a badass, trust me. And in the alternate version, it's Morpheus is a badass.
Yeah.
And trust us.
Yeah. So it's always you have to trust somebody that they're kind of a badass.
We're not going to show everyone being a badass. That's ridiculous.
We don't have that kind of time.
And, you know, maybe this is a little unfair of me to say, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Will and Irene, much better chemistry.
That's true. There was they're kind of picky, jokey.
Yeah, it's very much that arguing couple turns into romance stereotype, which I do usually hate, but it was something. It gave me something.
And it didn't come out of nowhere. They did set that up because they kind of gave each other looks.
They did.
And Hugo Weaving's character was sort of like, he wasn't judging it one way or the other, but was just like, all right, calm down.
Yeah.
We have bigger fish to fry. The fate of humanity is at stake. Maybe you two lovebirds. Like, Cypher had that little joke about it when they went training.
Cypher's the same, by the way.
Yeah, Joey Pants is, he's an odd constant of the universe, actually. We haven't run into something where Joey Pants, like...
was cast differently.
Yeah. Like, we saw, what is the backwards? Memento?
Oh, yeah.
He was good. I mean,
yeah,
that's a whole weird thing. But he's pretty much exactly the same. He's great. Joey Pants is great in everything.
He is. He should get more work.
It's true.
Oh, but back to the chemistry.
Yes. Sorry. Sorry.
Carrie Ann? Is that the actress's name?
Carrie Ann Moss, yeah.
Carrie Ann Moss. I'm just going to say Carrie Ann. Because sure. I'm not referring to people full names. It does flow that way.
It does, yeah.
But Carrie Ann and Keanu, it was just like, that was another trust us moment. They like each other.
They have chemistry.
Trust us.
He's a human being.
But I think Will gave Irene a little more to act against.
Yeah, I mean, because he's a very animated person. And that's not to say something bad about Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves is better Neo. We'll get into that.
Yeah, he is. He's
just better. Hands down, he's a better Neo.
Yeah, he's a good...
Everyman.
Yeah, he's an any man. Like he's, it's sort of like they could have a sign that says a male protagonist and just wave it around like, oh, Keanu Reeves is working. That's great.
So mean.
But
that's what the Matrix needed.
Oh, absolutely. That, and it needed someone who could actually do a little more of that, yes, I'm in danger, but I'm also a badass. Like, yeah. His kung fu is better, to go with the old Chop Saki, but his kung fu is best.
Oh, side note on kung fu.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, this is like my little bugbear.
They have the line. They have the line.
They have the line.
I'm not going to try to do a Will Smith impression. I wish we could have got audio for you. Copyright law.
I fear that universal, that lawyers are universal. Like,
yeah, in copyright law, they always say like now and through all time and the known universe.
Yeah.
So, well, we know there are other universes now. We're not trying to get sued.
Yeah, we might get away with it, but we're not taking that chance. No, but they have the line and they have him fighting and doing martial arts, but it's distinctly not kung fu.
Yeah.
It's Muay Thai, which is a fantastic martial art, but it's very different from kung fu. Kung fu is not generic for martial arts. You just can't whack people around and call it kung fu.
This is a bugbear. We had to stop the DVD.
Y'all are lucky. Y'all are getting the shortened version. You didn't hear my hour rant that Magana had to put up with.
Yeah.
He timed me. It was an hour.
No. The first part, it was an hour. When we went to dinner later, you went on. So we're talking. Actually, it might have been the runtime of the movie. It was like 120 minutes.
Okay.
Anywho, you're absolutely right.
It wasn't kung fu.
It was not. She's absolutely right. He goes up on. He does the little pose and the. What is it?
Praying Mantis.
He does like the hand with the little wiggle, like come here.
Yeah.
Which is a very cool scene when Keanu did it. When Will Smith did it, it's more of like, you know, the tap the chest, come get this kind of move. And then he goes up on one leg, puts up the elbows and the forearms. And she's like, that's Muay Thai. She was just like right away.
Because it fucking was.
Yes. It was absolutely Muay Thai. But I think it added a little like visceral, like hit him harder, hit him again kind of attitude.
See,
but just not for Will Smith. When Hugo was feeling better and they shot the fight scene between him and Will Smith, he's beating the shit out of him. Like he is hurting him.
Yeah.
It's a much more visceral fight. And
talking about Prime. We're talking about Prime movie. Just, it's hard for people to follow because Hugo Weaving's in both.
Right. Okay.
I'm clarifying.
Well, I'm saying that was true. Yeah. That's true in both, actually. Because in the Hugo Weaving as Agent Smith fight, it's just like angry trying to like kill an animal, like it's visceral and violent.
Right.
That still comes through in the Hugo Weaving as
We're talking about, yeah, okay.
Yes, I know kung fu scene. Although it was not kung fu, it added like a visceral. Like it's a beatdown. He's like desperately trying to get back up. But then, and this is where we got to talk about Will Smith and why. He didn't work. And here's why. And I think this is the tip of the spear for why he doesn't work. In that scene, in the Keanu Reeves version, When he gets hit, it hurts him. His physical comatose body like shakes from pain. When he gets hit later on, you see like the body spit up blood.
Yeah, we don't have that in the Will Smith.
That never happens to Will Smith. To him, it's almost like a game. Like it's more of like a video game.
It's literally like a game because like every time he falls down, there's like just this really weird cut to him standing up again.
Like either Will Smith couldn't do the little body hop up from the ground, like hop up from prone move. And so they never use that. So he was just sort of is standing up again. Like you see him go through the wall.
You see him hit the ground, cut. Next scene, he's standing up. Like,
yeah,
what
not
happened?
Even like, not even like he had to get up from one knee. He's just, I'm standing. And it kind of, that feeling kind of goes throughout. Like when during the resurrection scene, there's this like weird video game sound effect. It's not quite the Mario 1-Up sound. But
probably just only because that was licensed, I think.
Yeah, but it was like, who did? Like it was just familiar enough. Like, did he load a save?
Yeah.
And there were other elements like that. Like the guns are treated like the gun scene where they're all floating across the room. Mm-hmm. Like they're floating. Instead of them being on racks, like real physical guns, he just picks up like a floating gun out of nowhere. Like they're just like they're power ups. So that kind of went throughout. But during the scene with Will Smith fighting Hugo Weaving's Morpheus, he keeps making quips.
Like I said, he's quippy, and I think it works against the character.
Yeah.
Like, because you're supposed to imagine, like, you being trapped in the Matrix. We're all going on this journey with Keanu. Yeah. We're watching Will Smith be quippy.
Yeah. And it kind of hurts from it. Like, the when they have him jump off the building, like, no, you'll be fine. You can just jump off. You'll be all right. No one ever makes the first jump. And they have him make it.
Like,
well, then the drama is over. So when he resurrects, you're like, okay.
There's no vulnerability.
Yeah, exactly.
In Will Smith's performance.
Yeah.
Like none.
It could have been Jim Carrey. We checked. Doesn't exist. But it could have been Jim Carrey in the role. Like, he's so rubber man. He's fine. Yeah. He's not afraid of anything. So those jokes just...
He's not afraid. He's not beat down. You don't really ever feel him struggling. Like, even as he's gone through the wall... Like Magana pointed out.
Yeah.
It's just like, he's just like, he's still like completely fine with it. He's just like, oh, you got that lucky punch. Like,
it's cool. It's very badass to like brush off damage. Like he's like
chunks of.
Yeah. It's like chunks of concrete and he's like dusting it off like dandruff. Like, I know what you're going for, but it doesn't really communicate because we're supposed to be worried you'll lose. And
yeah,
you're not
worried.
Yeah,
there's just no doubt. That's again, why I have a problem with the little flippy thing.
Yeah.
Because it was so much better. Like, the human body doesn't work that way when you bend backwards to dodge bullets like Keanu did.
Yeah. Because I think that's it. Because he was bending the Matrix.
Yeah.
Which makes it more of like a, oh my God, he's able to come back from death. Uh-huh. That makes it like an escalation. He's leveling up. When Will Smith levels up, he's just bulletproof too.
Yeah.
And it carries around the attitude because in the famous
Will Smith's in God mode and yeah. We do not like it.
Yeah. It brings me to the very last scene where in Universe Prime, Keanu calls on the phone, like, I'm going to set humanity free, and he flies away. And it's goofy. No one thought that was cool. Everyone thought that was silly.
It was silly.
But he had that like that look of like the karate master, of the martial arts sage. He has those long robes and he flies away. He doesn't Superman fly, he does Superman, yeah. But he flies away. And it's weird, but Will Smith is like in heavy, like,
yeah, thick. And like the whole like, I'm the boogeyman now, like, what the hell was that about?
The ad-libbing, you can, and some of it was good, some of it was fun, but it was so much
some
ad-libbing.
Of it was fine.
Some of it was good. But you can tell all the ad-libbing is who's going to tell Will Smith no.
Yeah.
Like, that's your take. Deal with it.
I mean, one of the reasons he was approached was just because he was riding high.
Yeah.
At the time. So it's just like, you've gotten Will Smith.
Let him go.
Yeah.
We got the show, that's why.
We got Will Smith. Let him Will Smith it up.
Exactly.
Which is just like, don't get me wrong. The Will Smith version of The Matrix is a perfectly serviceable Will Smith action movie.
Yeah.
But it's not The Matrix.
And I feel like history, granted, history of a different universe, is on our side on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Because it did not have anywhere near the cultural impact.
No.
It got one lame duck little sequel.
That Will Smith is not even in.
He's like, he died off screen. Now he's like a martyr. He's even more Jesus figure. But so it kind of follows. It follows Trinity. It follows Irene.
That was the one cool thing they did.
That was cool. She got to play, but like Hugo Weaving didn't come back. Lawrence Fishburne didn't come back.
They got Agent Jones, which only makes me think of Mr. Jones, the Counting Crows song. that's probably just me though.
I went Osmosis Jones, but I see your point.
Yeah.
It was the sequel.
Well, the love was not there in the script.
No, it was just, let's get a little more money, squeeze it out of the franchise and move on. But the Wachowski siblings are fine. They did great. They did some other cool stuff. We'll go into that another time. Let's see. What else? Oh, the song.
Oh, okay. It's 1999. You have Will Smith in a starring role. You don't not give the man a song for the movie.
To the Wachowski's credits. Not on the soundtrack. The credits.
It's over the credits. It's not in the movie. It is on the soundtrack. Like, when you buy the soundtrack, you get Escape the Matrix.
Yeah. Granted, it's a good name, and it was, I mean, you could dance to it.
Yeah.
It's
no Men in Black.
No, it's like, what's that song, Miami? Is it Miami? It's a little like that one.
It's a little Miami.
Yeah, I don't want to, I really wish we could play it for you. But there's no way we would get away with that.
No.
Because it's literally a recording of Will Smith. People would just go like, where did you get this Will Smith song? And we'd be sued into oblivion. But it was okay.
By all the Smiths. Yeah. By all the Will Smiths. By the Smith Collective.
Yeah. The entire universe. It's like the
universes. Universi?
Universes, I believe. Yeah. It would be like the Council of Smiths.
Sue our asses into oblivion. But I do like the fact that it is Escape the Matrix, because like everyone always talks about entering the Matrix, even though that's like the default state.
Yeah,
as the premise of the movie.
That's one of the lines, like, I didn't ask for this, I was born in it. Like, he gets it. Actually, you had found Will Smith Prime.
Yeah.
Talking about being in the Prime universe, being offered the role of Neo and him turning it down. And even in his estimation, he said he wasn't a mature enough actor.
Yeah, he thought Keanu did a better job. So props to Will Smith Prime.
Absolutely right. This other alternate universe, Will Smith was in the Matrix. I don't want to say it's his fault, but I'm going to kind of say because he was Neo, the entire franchise.
I mean, the whole problem was that he wasn't Neo. It's that he was Will Smith.
Yeah. So we cannot recommend it. I mean, did you keep the DVD or did you leave it there?
Either I left it there or the cats got to it.
All right. Well, maybe we'll go back and get another copy.
I might have carved It's Not Kung Fu into the disc.
Anyways, I was really excited seeing the movie poster, like the design on the DVD case, because it still had Lawrence Fishburne, it had Will Smith center.
Only notice Will Smith as the difference on the cover.
Well, you did notice Irene Ung instead of Carrie Ann Moss.
Yes.
So you're like, okay, that's different.
Yeah.
But we saw the names and the names were very similar. So it was kind of weird. And I got really excited because I thought that Lawrence Fishburne was still going to be Morpheus. Will Smith was Neo. And if they included if they had gone with a black actress for Trinity, or if they just had more of a black presence in the cast in general, it would have been this really amazing, like, pseudo, what's the opposite of ancestor? A pseudo descendant of black exploitation and chop sake movies from the 70s, and that weird convergence with, like,
he was super excited. Like, this was the conversation before we put it in the disc. You could actually see the moment his heart broke. It was great. And he's just like, why is Hugo Weaving offering these pills?
Yes. It would have been this amazing thing of this, like, this culmination of, like, black culture and, like, Asian file and anime culture. Like, that is every couple of generations, there's this resurgence of it where, like, man, if these cultures get together, it's really friggin' cool. There's this, like, weird overlap with, like, Wu-Tang Clan, Samurai Champloo, every black dude you see wearing, like, a Goku outfit. Like, there's a lot of overlap there, and yet very little media representation. Like, whenever they have, like, the black nerd and, like, media, he's like, he's Urkel. They just do Urkel every once in a while. Just it's do it over Urkel. Him. Yeah, they never have. Urkel. Yeah, they never have the black kid who's really fucking into Naruto. Like, I know that kid. I know that a lot of those dudes, but they don't. They don't get a lot of representation. Yeah, they're good dudes. What I'm saying is, that would have started in 1999. If you had made that like the epitome and introduced this idea of like black culture, get in on the sci-fi, get in on the chop socket, get in on the anime.
Yeah.
I think had they gone that route, it wouldn't have been this huge, like awesome convergence of nerds and black pop culture and Asian pop culture. And that would have like that ball would have gotten rolling a lot quicker. And that'd have been really cool. So I checked your,
The thing, whatever.
Okay, I checked the thing, and I was looking to see, and in the multitude of universes, in the near infinite number of other universes, had that ever happened?
No.
No. No universe has an all-black matrix, and I made myself feel bad again.
Yeah.
I think we're done for today.
Yeah, that's gonna be it.
I think that's where we're gonna end.
We need to get him his therapy ice cream.
Can I have mint chocolate chip?
Yes, of course.
Okay, thank you. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the Metafictional Podcast presented by Strange and Unusual Productions. I'm C. M. Agaña.
I'm C. Paris.
And we'll see you in the next universe. Oh, quick spoiler for next week. We finally got it. We've been looking for it for a while. We're going to spend all week watching it. We're going to binge the entire second season of Firefly.
Woo!
We'll let you know how it goes. All right. Until next time.
Till next time.
Don't get eaten by a group.